and we're glad to have you. So let me give you a little quiz to begin. About 5 years ago, we came up with a mission statement here at First Baptist, and it has kind of three parts to it. Do you remember what it is? What's the first part of our mission statement? It's to follow Jesus. Second part is what? To love others like Jesus. And then what's the third part of our mission statement? To tell the world about Jesus. Well, tonight we're going to kind of show you how we're putting this to practice in our church. Missions is where the rubber meets the road. It's one thing to gain a lot of intellectual knowledge, to gain a lot of head knowledge about what's in here. It's another to go and actually do it. And those of you who have done it understand what I'm saying. You're limited until you put the gospel into practice. You are a limited Christian with limited success until you put what you've learned into practice. And so I'm not saying a mission trip is the one and only way to put the gospel into practice, but it's certainly a way that the church has been empowered to do so. And so we're going to share with that a little bit tonight. Also, I want to talk to you about a class that just graduated last Wednesday night. So 2-7 class, if you'll start making your way up, I want them to share a little bit about what 2-7 has meant to them. 2-7 is based on Colossians 2, 6, and 7. So turn in your Bibles as they're walking up to Colossians 2, 6, and 7. And church core, I would encourage you to underline this in your Bible. I would encourage you to meditate on it this week and to ask the Lord, what are you trying to teach me through these two verses about your word, your ways, and your will? So stand in honor of God's word, would you please, with me? Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Father, use this word to teach us tonight. May this word, as we meditate on it this week, encourage us to do what you would will us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So 12 weeks ago, we got these, well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, a third of them showed up tonight. So this is the core of the 2-7 class right here. We had about 23 people that came, and some of them had to go on to do other things. Some are out of town tonight and couldn't make it. But we had a group from young teenagers all the way to mature adults. And it was an amazing experience, and I want them just to share what they learned in 2-7.
All right, so just Todd came to me one Wednesday and he said, you got to come to this class. And so I was like, yeah, I'm going to come. And I learned a whole lot. Like he said, like the generations, multiple generations were coming to this Bible study and just seeing what God has to show us through his scripture. And I'm just going to read a passage that that I found really impacting to me. It's the passage in Matthew 6 where he talks about do not worry. And it's about where the birds, that they don't worry about what food's going to come. But God says in Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all else, all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. So if you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then everything, all aspects of life will be given to you.
Same goes for me. Todd came up to me the same Wednesday night, and he was like, you got to be there. And so I was like, I guess I'll go. And I really grew to love the group that we had meeting every Wednesday night, and I think one of the biggest things was just the sharing of what God had given us that week. That was really big. Not only that, but Todd would always ask some of us to go home and look up stuff, and eventually he told me to look up the types of Christ, and you know, I had always heard that all 66 books of the Bible pointed to Christ, but I had never realized just how deeply rooted he was and how clear the pictures that showed of him and his coming and every aspect of his being. I had never realized how clear the picture was painted in that until he told me, hey, Jacob, go home, look up types of Christ. And that's probably the biggest way that the class has impacted me over the past 11 weeks.
I'm with them. I was actually invited to the class by Miss Lori Snow. And when I came to the class, I didn't really know what to expect, but the class, if you're planning on taking it, which I obviously recommend it because it's really good and it goes really deep and you learn a lot in the 12 weeks that we're in there. But just, it's not a class that you can just come in there and not do your work and just sit there and listen, which you can sometimes and get some things out of it, but you really have to take the book home and study and dive deep into God's Word. And just by doing that, it opens up millions of conversations just in our class. And with the multiple generations in our class, we got different perspectives from everybody, not just our own, but perspectives that I would have never even thought of. But the class is definitely focused on the love of Christ that he has on you and how to share that and how to take that and teach others. So it's a really good class.
I came into the class, I think, like the second week, just because my friends were going, so I was like, well, I'll go. And it was really weird at first, because it was kind of weird being an adult class. Even though I'm 18 now, I'm still really young. So it was kind of weird at first. but I came in, and I really enjoyed it. And I think one of my favorite things about it was just kind of like, you know, as a child, you always think that adults, you know, their life is so easy. They got it all together. It's all good. But I think it was neat to be able to see that, you know, that they have struggles that they go through too, and that there's so much going through their life as well. And it was kind of, I don't know, it was just kind of refreshing and neat to kind of see other people's perspectives and kind of move about the book. For me, I'm one of those people that, for me to really see that it's the Lord's voice speaking to me, he's got to point it out as clear as day. And that book, God spoke a lot through me, even stuff that was kind of just kind of personal stuff in my life that God kind of spoke to me through and kind of pointed out some areas in my life that I needed working on or people that I needed to kind of make my relationships better with and that kind of thing. So I really enjoyed it, and I'd encourage you to come.
Picked up two big things. One, not near as busy as I'd like to think that I am, and I'm probably dumber than I think that I am. I don't know, for some of you, I'm always looking for that next best Bible study, that book that gives me the answer I need, and probably spent countless hours searching for that, and this course really taught me that I don't need those secondary things. There is already a book that is your Bible study, and it's his word that speaks not only to us, but to each and every one of us. As far as the busy part, when I started this class, I expressed that I don't know why I'm exactly here. I knew I needed to be there, but I'm way too busy for this. And now we're at a point, or I'm at a point, that I am spending time in the Word every morning, and I'm going to work later than I usually do, and all my stuff is getting done. It's like we all know what the right answer is a lot of the times, but we don't truly take the faith to step out and exercise that. And I think that's where I was failing. And so it's been just a wonderful experience. And these young people, I tell you, they are so far ahead of the game compared to where most of us are. And I really appreciate the church for that, and I appreciate them where they are in Christ. But I just picked up that you gotta work the faith. You gotta step in it. You can't just know the right answer. You gotta do the things that you're required to do to get what you need.
My name is Angie Griffin, and I'm actually new to First Baptist, new to Dixon. Actually, we've moved here 7 months ago from California, and I sat in the balcony after the first of the year, and there was a video playing, and it was Todd talking about introducing the church to the next new 2-7 class that he and Michelle were going to be leading on Wednesday night. And I was at that place in life of transition, new chapter, new place, and really praying, you know, God, what is it you have in store for me and my family? We have 5 boys, ages range from 2 to 25. So, you know, what is it, God, that you have really in store for us? And as Todd talked, and the hook for me was he explained that we will be doing a lot of Bible study and learning to mark your Bible and sharpening your daily devotion. And I thought, okay, this may be a place for me. And I came in on Wednesday, and we did everything from studying scripture to taking the Lord's Prayer line by line and looking at it to journaling, to memorizing verses. Everybody memorized 5 verses throughout the last few months. One of them being Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And someone in the class pointed out that it's paths with an S. You know, it's not just one journey we're on in life. You know, when we leave here tonight, you know, we'll journey home. Tomorrow many will get up and go to church or go to work and school, and this week maybe the fitness center or the nursing home to visit family members, or the path we take to our neighbor's house or family. And it's really trusting in the Lord. And so it just kind of reminded me, as I'm searching and just quite couldn't put my finger on it, is really just whichever path I'm on and whoever God puts in my life is really preparing my heart and soul for that. And I want to thank Todd and Michelle for their leadership and commitment. But church, I have to commend these young people. I'll echo what Brian said. I was in awe of the young people. Their knowledge and wisdom of Scripture and the Bible, hats off to them. I was so impressed. It really made some of us have to step up our game. So very impressed.
I just really enjoyed the accountability of the group of, have you been in the Word this week? If not, what's going on in your life? How can we pray for you? And just that everybody different every week had something new to bring that, hey, I looked into this. Can I share it with y'all, see what you think about it and all the different perspectives that were in it? So.
So the next 2-7 course begins the Sunday after Labor Day. That's book one. Book two and book three will be offered. So some of you, several of you have taken book one now. Book two is going to be taught on Wednesday night, starting right after school begins. We'll start on Wednesday night. This group all wants to come back except for those in college, and they're going to Skype in FaceTime? Yeah, help me guys, FaceTime, right? But we're gonna have a great time working together. Book two begins right after school starts, and book one, two, and three, they all build on each other. We'll start with the next Disciple Life semester, which begins the Sunday after Labor Day. So it's hard to believe it's almost May, doesn't it? Well, now turn in your Bibles to another point of scripture that I wanna share about, because we're gonna move to the next section of what we're gonna talk about tonight. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And this is Paul's testimony to Timothy. And I pray that it's your testimony as well. And I pray that you're willing to share your testimony with the same eloquence, the same passion, the same honesty that Paul shared in this passage. 1 Timothy chapter 1, we'll start with verse 12. He says, I give thanks to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry, one who was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man. Since it was of ignorance that I had acted in unbelief, I received mercy, and the grace of our Lord overflowed along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. But I received mercy because of this, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus might demonstrate the utmost patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Church, I don't know if you know this or not, but we have entered into a partnership in India. We've been several times, and there's a gentleman by the name of Leepak that Michelle and I and Charlie and Betty had the great opportunity to meet a little over a year ago at Johnson Ferry Baptist Church in Atlanta when he came back and shared what was going on in India. And I'll speak for the four of us. We can honestly say we've met a modern-day Paul. He was a man who persecuted the church, who killed Christians and was guilty. And yet God did the same thing in Leepak's life in this testimony that I just read to you. And because of his mercy and because of his grace, he has decided to take the message of the gospel back to his people and ask for forgiveness. And it was at one time when he was living in someone's house, he started hearing the testimony of how one of his family members had been killed because of Jesus. And he came to find out that he was the murderer of that person's child and was staying in that person's house. And those parents forgave him. Since then, he has begun to put together a network and is training and discipling young believers and sending them out to the ministry, and it's growing exponentially, just as it is in the book of Acts. And the next time he comes back to the States, Charlie and I will do everything possible to get him to First Baptist, because we are supporting him on a monthly basis, and he needs to come back and tell us what's going on. But he FaceTimes Charlie and Betty and Michelle and I almost daily about what is happening. He shows us the baptisms that are happening. He shares his stories. And the gospel is alive and well in the world, and it's still going. And what a great opportunity we have to go to India. So we're sending someone every 2 to 3 months. That's our goal, is to send someone. And there's a gentleman sitting on the fourth row just to my right back here that's going to be going fairly soon. And back in February, Brett and Karen Reynolds went to India. And I would like you to come up and share just what happened for a few moments in February.
Well, February was my third trip in 3 years, which sounds kind of crazy. But it was, I think, one of the better trips I have made to India. Not because just my wife came with me, which really helped the situation logistically, preparedness, teaching, all those things. But it was not being, I guess, shocked by the culture as much, let me really look in and see exactly what was going on, all the incredible things. You talk about the book of Acts, and I was there thinking, like, you know, one of the cool things I was thinking about, like, you know, if I just said, oh, what did you do on your trip to India? I was like, well, you know, I met a witch doctor that was teaching Sunday school, and, you know, all these kids that were kids that were living homeless, doing like heroin as young as 10, 11, 12 years old, that have now lived in an orphanage, and seeing all these people just pouring into these people's lives. It's nuts. It's crazy to think about what's going on. This Sunday in church in India compared to what's going on in our churches. So just a little bit about the guys that we spent time with. There's a guy named Anirudh, which is exactly what Deepak is bringing up in India. So Anirudh was met by a guy named Jared Hoke, who y'all have seen here. Remember Jared came here about 4 years ago? So Jared comes in, and Jared goes around and teaches some classes. Jared taught this guy, Anirudh, the same classes about four fields in church training and how to start a church. Well, he runs into Anirudh about 18 months later, kind of expecting the same answer, like, hey, how you doing? How's your classes going? Are you starting any churches? I'm trying to get the normal answer, like, oh, yeah, the church I started is going fine, and so are the two or three others we started. Instead, Anirudh says, oh, we've got about 80 churches going. He's like, 80? You know, in 18 months? What? You know, like, what are you doing over here? So he started kind of pointing some resources there and just uncovered a network of guys that just were just waiting and just to get something amazing going. In that time of him starting 80 churches, he also started an orphanage, which he holds 22 children in his home, and he has a family of his own. And they all stay in house thing. 22 kids, amazing. All have jobs that they do every day. The absolute funnest thing. If you could have picked a trip that my wife could have enjoyed more, I don't know. It was definitely a God thing. So we had no idea we were going to hang out with these people every day. And they said, oh, well, you know, Andrew, he does have an orphanage in his house, if you need that kind of thing. Karen's like, what? Are you kidding? This was great. And we got to hang out every day with these little children and eat 3 meals a day with them. And just to see, you ask the kids, my kids, you know, Brody, what are you going to be to grow up? Like, I don't know. You know, I'm engineer, astronaut, whatever, fly plane, something. He says something to that sort. You ask these children what they want to be when they grow up. He says, I want to grow up and be a pastor and go back and get the rest of the kids at the train station. Like, every one of them. Like, what do you mean? Oh, pastor, 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 everybody, pastor. Great. All right, we're all pastors over in this room. So everybody wants to be a pastor. You know, Mike would love to hear it. He would be like the role model guy over there. Everybody wants to be a pastor. So it's fascinating to know that those people are pouring their lives into reproduction. Into reproduction. It's all about reproduction. Can this be replicated? Can I go out here and get more people to do what they're supposed to be doing, which is what? Replicate. Go get them. Get the lost. Get them. Get them. Let's go get them. How far? No road. We're getting them. They're just doing it. They're being taught, and even Jared, who does it for a living, was just shocked that this guy had done it. So it's an amazing thing. If you ever want to go to India, come with me. I love going, even though I kind of dread it, but once I get over there, it's the funnest place. For me, I think it's just it's fun. It's my little Disney World. Charlie and Betty can laugh. It's the most fun you're ever going to have on a trip in the world. So I strongly encourage you. And those that have not been able to go, the support we've got from this church. Every time we wanted to go, I know Samantha can say the same thing about being, oh, I don't know if I can get to go, and I'm looking forward to go. Well, just say you want to go. There's people waiting in the wings of this church just to write you a check, just to see you go, to come back and tell a story, because they can't. So I very much appreciate that. And we have a whole group of people here that are also that will talk about the same thing. So India's great. It's going great. Look forward to hearing the stories from the next group that goes. Don't be surprised. I guess maybe October, maybe you're thinking about. I might go. If somebody wants to go with me in October, let me know. I'm going back. And then again, probably every 6 months or so. So let me know. It's what I do for fun now, I guess. Go to India and try to avoid gastrointestinal diseases.
Well, give Brett a hand for being obedient and going. India is the armpit of the world. It really is. It's dirty, it's nasty, it's hot, it stinks. But nonetheless, the Lord is there. And you just have to go. It's impossible for any of us to communicate to you in words what missions is like. I hope you understand how hard it is for us to tell you in 45 minutes what God is doing. It's this life. You go into a time warp and everything is exponentially going on. You see God at work doing miraculous things every second that you're there. And you just think, am I in a dream? And then you land back at home and then things slow down. And it's an amazing thing. I don't know if I'm even making any sense, but God is in missions. And it's what he told us to do in Matthew 28:19-20. He said, I have all the authority that anyone could ever have. I have authority on heaven and on earth, all authority. And because of that, I'm telling you to go and make disciples and teach them to observe everything I've commanded you and baptize them. And when we do that, miracles happen. So about, I can guess, in Charlie, it was a year and a half, 18 months, 19 months ago, we got a call from Ernie McInnich, who is now retired from Lifeway. But Ernie McInnich is a soldier for the Lord, a meticulous, detail-oriented person that God allowed to work at Lifeway and do a lot of things for our convention. But one of the things on his heart was foreign missions. And so he helped organize a lot of things, and he's the one that helped get First Baptist into Cuba. And he's still helping us with every trip. He handles a lot of the details for us. He told us about a guy in South Dakota, because he went up in August of year before last to do the motorcycle rally. The Southern Baptist Convention has a huge emphasis and a huge voice at this hell on earth called Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. And they take these people in, and if they will take a three-minute, listen to someone's three-minute personal testimony about Jesus and how they changed their life, they have an opportunity to win a motorcycle. And so in the process of the last 6 or 7 years, thousands of people have come to know the Lord because of the Southern Baptist Convention's tent at Sturgis. So Ernie went up there and met a guy by the name of Doug Hickson. And the North American Mission Board sent this man up there in 2010 to start a church. Well, now he's on his fourth church start, and we went up there to help on that fourth church start. And so We left out on a Thursday, flew up there, and we waited an hour and a half in Denver's airport, waiting on a plane to get fixed. And then we finally realized that it was a lavatory door was broken, and we had a 40-minute flight to Rapid City, and no one even used it. But anyway, we got in late at 1 in the morning on Thursday night, woke up at 6 o'clock the next morning, and went to work in a church in the mall, and worked 2 days at a church in the mall, and they're going to fill in all these details. But we worked 48 hours in a church, and then went to worship with the church that we are going to help in Sturgis on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So we worshiped with them, then went to see Mount Rushmore, then come back and started early the next morning going door to door and knocking on every door in Sturgis, South Dakota, and inviting them to a block party Wednesday night. And I'll let them tell you how the block party went, but it was a huge success. And then we packed everything up and went to see the Badlands on Thursday morning, and then got on a plane and got back late Thursday night, and it was an event-filled week. That's it in a nutshell. But I want these people to tell you what happened. So Adam and Amy, you're up first. And could we run the pictures? Could you guys go ahead and start the pictures, please?
Okay, I've never talked in a mic, so this is it. We weren't supposed to go. This is my husband, Adam. I'm Amy. We're the Bernies. We weren't supposed to go. And about 3 weeks before we were going to leave, he called me at work and he said, "Hey, how do you feel about going to South Dakota?" And I said, "Okay, how are we doing this?" He said, "I don't know." And I found out I could get off work. He found out he could get off work. And I said, "Okay, let's go." The amazing thing to me was the fact that we weren't supposed to be on that trip, but it was so awesome. We had no way of paying for it, and people loved us enough and believed in God enough to fund us. And it doesn't get any more humbling than when people love you enough to help you get there.
As my wife was explaining, just like a lot of y'all, we live paycheck to paycheck. Absolutely no way that we could afford the airline tickets, much less a week where we stayed. Your love for Christ and for the gospel and for your brothers and sisters in Christ is what got us there. Through every one of you that gave monetarily, time in praying, y'all got us there. And not just us, the entire team. We got there because the Lord worked through each and every one of you. And all of us thank you from the bottom of our hearts for that. I wanted to read a couple of verses to y'all. Luke 14:23. "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Ladies and gentlemen, we went out on the highways and in the hedges, on the dead ends, on the circles. We went on every street in Sturgis, South Dakota, and compelled these people to go to this block party that we were having. We visited 99.9% of the houses in Sturgis and invited them to this block party. And Todd, it was what, right at 300, give or take. It was right at 300 people that we served at this party. Now, that's just a party. That's not including what we did at the other churches. The people there, I got to serve hot dogs. And that might not seem like a big deal, but when you look into the eyes of people who are truly hungry, who have not eaten in several days, when you see the humbleness and the humility that they have, because they're there just for the food. When God chooses you and the people that you're with to work through you to get them fed and to get them things that they need, that in itself can be a life-changing experience. Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written of them that preach the gospel of peace. No, I'm sorry. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's not saying that we're beautiful. In God's eyes, we are. That's saying that we who do God's work and take the gospel in our hearts to other people. And part of the gospel, a major part of the gospel, is to serve. Christ served. So when each and every one of us on this team got to serve in the way that God set for us to serve, and each one was different, our lives and our hearts were blessed in manners that we don't have words for. It's something that you have to experience to explain. That being said, the greatest part of this for me was being able to serve my Lord first and foremost. But the second part that I treasure is being able to do it with the woman that God has given me to walk along in this life with. There is no blessing that I will ever cherish besides my salvation more than that. That's it. Thank y'all.
So, Todd calls me one day, says, hey, we're going to Sturgis, South Dakota. I said, sure, I'm in, definitely. No more questions. I said, I'm in, I've got to go, busy at work. Of course, in my mind, we're going to Sturgis Bike Rally, as he mentioned. That's all I thought. We're going to a bike rally, tell people about Jesus. I mean, what's better than that? I mean, Mike, motorcycles, tell people about Jesus, what's better? Just to be disappointed about a month later that we're not going to the bike rally. But saying that, I've got to say, I've been on 4 mission trips in the 5 years I've been back here at First Baptist. Kenya, Arizona, Cuba, now South Dakota. And I've told some of them, this was probably one of the better trips I've been on. And it'll definitely be one of the most memorable trips I've been on. I'm going to tell you all a little bit just about the churches that we were at. We went to 2, and a little bit about what we did at one of them. So, as Todd said, we worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at the actual church in Sturgis that we were supposed to go to. And we were told that the other days, we got there Thursday, so Friday and Saturday, I believe it was, that we were working with this other church in another part of the state. Nobody really knows what you're doing. We're just going up there and we're going to help this church. So cool. So we get up there and I am just completely blown away by this church. It's in the coolest place ever. It is in a mall. They have 3 store locations, one for the kids, one for the actual church, and then the pastor's wing's in one. And then to come to find out, I think a member of the church, correct me if I'm wrong, is taking a 4th building to start a sandwich shop that he bought from somebody to feed the homeless. All proceeds will just turn around to feed homeless. And it's all right there at the end of one of the little blocks to one of the main stores. You can see it at the beginning when it rolls back around at a Home Again store. And I've told them many times, this is probably the coolest location I've ever seen because, you know, you wake up on a Sunday, your wife wants to go buy some chair that probably not going to match anything in the house because it's a decoration accent piece. And you go right beside, you know, right past the church service. Drawn in. I mean, we saw 2 or 3 people just in the days we were there ask what we were doing. So what we ended up doing for this church is we painted their entire kids' wing. So we all know what the halls, the storefronts look like, you know, the little rectangles. We painted an entire storefront, a whole store in 2 days. You saw early on that we built a wall. We didn't even know we were building a wall till we show up. Todd's just like, hey, here's your guy. He'll build you a wall. So we build this wall, we drywall, and we get 1 coat of mud on the wall. I was kind of disappointed I couldn't coat and mud the whole thing, but we get 1 coat of mud on this wall, and I mean, it was pretty incredible what we were able to accomplish. I mean, as far as I know, none of us are professional painters or wall builders. I mean, I know I'm not. So we get all this done, and there's video we'll show later of the people and how ecstatic they were about revitalizing their kids' wing. It was not pleasing to have kids in. It just wasn't conducive in the looks. And it's amazing what a coat of paint will do to be able to do this. And then the wall we built was to hold in the little kids. They just had like styrofoam that some kids would run right through, and they couldn't contain them. So they now have a way to keep these kids safe. So that's what we did at that church. And then I'll just give you a little history of the actual Connection Church. That was their 4th plant. When we went there on Sunday, it was the Sunday before Easter, it was their 1-year anniversary. And Michelle, I'm gonna go ahead and tell them. When we went, they had about 15, maybe 20 people? 15, 20 people. Now they're in the community center of the town. So they rent this out and they use this community center. It's the same place we did the block party. We rent the gym out. So they're using the auditorium, so they set up each week, they tear down each week. So they had about 15 people. And I asked Michelle earlier tonight, I said, is there any word on, you know, feedback from what we did, the going around town, the block party? She told me, what was it, about 70? 78 people they had for Easter. The week before, they had 15. And that might be 15 including us. No, but we had 12. So no, but that is a testimony, if y'all didn't know, of what we did. 15 to 78. And I'll encourage you, I mean, as Todd said, and Brett will tell you, and anybody on this trip, and there's no words to describe what a mission trip will do for you. I mean, you can see what you do for them. I can never show you what it did for me. What each every one of these trips I've been on has done differently in my life. So if you've not been on one, you know, Adam and Amy said, there's always a way. You know, not everybody can afford it, trust me. You're in a church with a 2,000 membership. There is a way. All you got to do is rely on God, pray about it, and he'll get you there. You just got to obey. Be obedient. So, that's all I've got. Oh, which one was it? Oh, will you go ahead? Yeah, so will you go ahead and do the testimony?
So, I'd just like to, we're Hills of Grace Fellowship. I'm here in the mall. I don't know if you can see that or not, but we're in the mall. And we had a children's area that just wasn't very good for kids. It just wasn't warm, it wasn't inviting. Your church provided a wonderful missions team to come and just bless our church. I mean, and just the transformation that it is right now is just phenomenal. I thank you guys so much. And I know we've been praying a long time, and this just kind of fell right into our laps of the way God likes to do things, to where everything kind of set up. Terry did this wonderful mural, and one over on the other side that was just phenomenal and just such an eye-catcher for us to bring people into our church. And I just like to say thank you guys so much for sending this missions team.
Yeah, I'm Jimmy. I'm the lead pastor here at Hills of Grace. And since the start, Todd and the crew has just been just amazing. And working through, I can tell the Holy Spirit's just in this building, just flowing through the people. And everyone is exhausted, but there's smiles on faces. And we're working in both sides. We haven't seen the other side. We're doing the sanctuary part, the kids area, and we're ripping up floors and carpets and putting in new floors. And it's just been great. And this is just the beginning of your team. You guys are going to head out and go door to door in Sturgis and help promote that new fellowship that they've been under for about a year. So we just couldn't be more grateful to you guys and what you blessed us with. And from the bottom of all our hearts and everybody at Hills of Grace, we just say thank you.
So I'd just like to, we're Hills of Grace Fellowship. I'm here in the mall. I don't know if you can.
So one thing we didn't get to tell you was we got to see a 5 loaves and 2 fish scenario. They bought paint, and they knew that it wasn't going to be enough paint, but it's what they could afford. And so there was this, I don't know, 3 to 4 gallons of paint. And we painted the entire children's wing, and there was paint left over. There is no other way to describe that God continued to put paint in that bucket somehow miraculously. I never experienced something like that, but I can now see with my own experience now, God is true. God's word is true. So who's next? These two were on my team. And
I want to hear it.
Missions give us the opportunity to give to others.
And we love missions. And it is a giving, it is a very giving thing. Over the last 10 plus years, we've gone just about every year somewhere, mostly to third world countries and impoverished areas. But when I got a call that wanted to know, did we want to go to South Dakota? It didn't take me long to say yes, because it's missions. But God opened up a new avenue for me, because we haven't done missions in this country. But he pointed out to me so vividly that America needs God. And so we're ready to do missions anywhere. We started out as a group that hardly knew each other, 12 of us. But when we went to the different churches, we worked together. Everything was just marvelous. When we went to visiting homes, we saw passed out over 1,000 pamphlets. That's how many doors we knocked on. And one home I went to, as I went up the steps, the door was open, and I heard a voice say, "Come on in." So I went into this living room, and my first thought was, these people need help. There was an older couple really in need of help. But I talked to him for a while, and I left. And as I left, I was going on to the next house, and a car pulled up next to me, or in the road there, and it said elder care on it. So I'm going to go talk to this man. And I went, and I told him about the situation with this couple. And I thought, how great is this? When we need somebody, there they are. My God, he shows up right on time, no matter where. So it was a blessing to go for all of us.
I'm Terry Starkey, and the least favorite place for me to be is in front of you guys, but I have a lot to say because God did a lot for me. I even made notes because I wanted to stay on task. I didn't know that, or I wasn't even looking to go on a mission trip, but I always knew God would send me somewhere, and so he just put that peace in my heart a long time ago. So one Sunday, and this is going to be kind of a testimonial thing for me because he did so much to get me there. It's nothing short of a miracle. So one Sunday in February, I was up there, and it was at the end of the service, and I was getting my things together. Todd was here speaking, and he said the word South Dakota. And it was like the lights went on in the room, and I popped my head up, and I sat back in my chair, and I thought, what are they going to do in South Dakota? And I looked at my husband, and I said, I think I'm going to pray about South Dakota. And he was like, okay. And so I go downstairs. While I'm going down the stairs, I'm texting my daughter, and he had said that there's going to be a table out in the foyer. I forgot about that by the time I got down there. I saw my friend Shelly, and I told Jeff, I said, I'm going to go love on Shelly for a second. So I love on, you know, Shelly. Todd's apparently made a beeline out to the foyer, and he comes behind me and Shelly, and you need to go to South Dakota. Just pushes us both to the table. You need to go to South Dakota. And I'm like, he didn't hear me tell Jeff that I was going to pray about that, but I'm going to roll with this and just act cool. And I was like, okay, so what are you going to do? So they had a pamphlet, and there was some talk about sleeping on the floor, and there was, you know, talk about going door to door, and I'm like, I'm out. Can't do that. And so they go on and on and on. They give us the pamphlet, and they're talking to us, and I put the thing over my face like this, and I say, Shelly, I just told Jeff I was going to pray about South Dakota. She steps back and was like, you're going. And so I just listened, and I said, well, I'm going to put my information down right here, but I'm not, you know, I'm just praying. So I wrote, praying. Okay, 2 days later, I got an email that said, I don't want to pressure you or anything, but half of your trip's been paid for. And I'm like, well, I didn't say I was going. So how's that possible? Who knew I was going? Nobody. Nobody knew except my husband. I call Jeff. I leave. I'm like, you're never going to believe what happened. And I tell him, and so a couple days later, I get another email that says, airfare's going up. If you're going to go, we need to know because we're going to book our flights. And I was in a panic because I'd already told myself, I'm out. I don't have the courage. Not me. I'm not ready. My mind and my heart are not right. You know, I'm going to go tell people about God, and I'm just not in a, I'm asleep. I hit Christian snooze. If you've ever done that before, if you're like going through the motions, coming to church, and you're just doing your thing, and I was asleep. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was literally getting my stuff together. All right, we're going to go eat. My daughter's got to tell her, blah, blah, blah. And then South Dakota. He woke me up from my sleep, y'all. And the emails and the support and the fear, he took care of it all. And so I guess I agreed because I kind of felt like if I didn't, I was going to be in trouble. Like, I literally thought, if I don't go and I know that I have to go, or I know that I'm chosen to go, I don't want to know what the consequences are going to be, because I just knew. And so I put the fear behind me. The sleeping on the whole floor thing, I have a bad back. I was just healing from some back issues that I was having. And so I was trying to pray about that. And one day in Sunday school, I told them, hey guys, I'm going to be sleeping on the floor for a week. Kind of got a bad back. Can we pray about that? Can we pray about that? So we did. We prayed about it. 5 minutes later, with Jeff, and I come around the corner, see Todd. He's like, hey, you ready to go? And I'm like, I'm okay. And so he's like, listen, these people, Amy and Adam, are going. They're really good people. And I'm like, Adam? No, who? I don't know them. Never seen them before in my life. Said Brooke was going, and he was like, look, we had to rearrange some things, rearrange some money, looked at some budgets, and made some phone calls. We're going to stay in a hotel. 5 minutes after we prayed about it, he told me we're staying in a hotel. Sunday morning, you know how crowded it is in the hallways? I was jumping up and down like this, like, whoa! Todd was like, okay. And so I get over the, like, yes, we just prayed about that. I mean, he'd already taken care of it, but to me, that was an answered prayer. And so once it hit me that I just prayed about it and we're staying in the hotel, I just lose it, because he's so good to little old me. First of all, got chosen. Second of all, he's actually listening and hearing to my needs. Not that I wouldn't sleep on the floor, because I would, but he just took care of it. He took care of us, because there's people on this trip that would have had a hard time sleeping on that floor, but they would have. I know they would have. Things like that happened throughout this whole thing. The second meeting, I think it was, Todd says, I have someone that their trip's paid for. So we went through our meeting. He never told us the next day I had to come, because I had raised a little bit of money and I was going to give the money. He's like, by the way, your trip's paid for. What in the world? I wasn't even supposed to go on this. I don't know anybody that has that amount of money. I don't know anybody that knows me that would do that for me. The stress that took off of me and my family is tremendous. It was like, I can breathe. I'm going to be sleeping in a bed. Monetarily, I raised money. I took care of that. I don't have to worry about that anymore. What is going on? And so once that was taken care of, fear still kept pounding me. There was just lots of fears. Leaving my family, leaving my security, which is my husband, leaving my kids that I don't do. We usually go in a pack. They leave me, but I'm always home. And so I usually don't leave them very often. So to go on my own, it was him, I know it was. I forgot where it was. Oh yeah, the fear. Once we got there and we actually took off, which was saying, all right, I'm disconnected to my family now. It's all you and me, God. And I really think that leaving my security forced me to work on this security. Once I got there, I kind of attached to somebody that I thought could provide security, which was RJ. And he did very well. He was my security, and he was very sweet. But when I found out that we were going door to door, and the whole mall thing was a breeze. I mean, going and helping people, I was all about it. There was no fear to that, and the hard work, that was, that was good. But Monday morning, I woke up, and I was absolutely in, I would say close to an anxiety attack, is what it was. Because I have a huge fear of dogs, and I'm not talking just like, oh, I don't like that dog, I think I'm gonna go. No, it's paralyzing. And if you have a fear of heights, or whatever your fear might be that's like that, you'll understand what I'm talking about. If I don't know this dog, I freeze, I shake, I can't control my body. So for me to go door to door, and I think it's a law in South Dakota that you have a big dog, and if you have a big dog, you have to have two little dogs, because as soon as you step on somebody's porch, woof, you know, you can tell by their bark if they're one of those little yappers, or if it's like a woo, and it doesn't matter what it was like, oh. RJ, for, you know, first couple of times, he was like, it's all right, come on, we got this. And so Monday morning, I woke up with anxiety. I didn't want to seem weak to them. I didn't want to seem like I had an issue or whatever, so I was just going to suck it up. I kept sucking it up, and I found a little quiet place, and I put my earphones in. I was like, okay, God, I know you got me. And then and it was Amy. She said, Adam thought you were asleep, and he didn't want you to be late, so, you know, and I'm like, no, I'm not asleep. And so I kind of got centered. I went downstairs, I went to breakfast, la, 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 I'm all good, sucking it in. I get a phone call from this random buddy from church. That's kind of weird that he would call while I'm in South Dakota. But he calls and he says, hey, been thinking about the mission trip, kind of woke up in the middle of the night thinking about you guys, woke up thinking about you this morning, just want to check on you. Well, then I just, all my sucking it up just went. So I found somewhere to hide in the hotel, got up from breakfast, and I said, you called for me. I'm losing it here. I know all the church things to say. I know what to pray. I know what to do. It's just, I cannot walk out that door. And he said, God's got you. He's got you. He helped me. He helped me realize that RJ would never let anything happen to me. And he would literally take a dog bite for me. Literally. He enticed one. He's lucky he didn't get bit. But, and so I felt good because I said, even though I know that you're supposed to give your fear and your anxiety and all that to God, and the only thing that was going to get me out that door was faith, and the faith that knowing I was supposed to be there. So, with my crying kind of done, and all that out, I was able to just get in the truck, go to Sturgis, and on the way to Sturgis, my friend sends me an email. I'm going to share you just a little bitty tiny part of this. And it says, if God is who he says he is, then risk is a myth. It's easy to get frustrated, scared, or apprehensive when you think God is asking us to do something that seems impossible. And he often does just that. When we are willing to accept what seems risky, we demonstrate that what we believe, that God is wise and powerful. But we also demonstrate that if God is truly in control, then risk is a myth. And I just thought, dude, that was written for me. And that was really what I needed to hear. And it says, God invites us to do things for his honor, not mine, his honor, because on my own I could never do what I just did. That far exceed our capabilities. And when we focus on our own abilities, we impose limits on what we believe God can do. And when God assigns a task, he promises his presence and strength to accomplish it. And so these words that my friend sent to me, and I know that God put me on that buddy's heart to call me to give me these words. I don't know if you think that's a miracle, but I do. Little old me. It blows my mind every time I think about that. But so, with RJ by my side, every step of the way, we go out to Sturgis, knock on the door, nobody's home. This doesn't work. I can do that. Knock, 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 nobody's home. Door knocker, slide it in there. At the third or fourth house, we knock, we go up on the little thing, and I see some little ski boots and some skis, and, you know, I'm observant. Little kids are here. So RJ knocks on the door. I hear a yapper. So a little kid opens the door, and I kind of hear the lady, the mom, coming down the hallway. No, don't answer the door. And so she comes. She's out of breath. And the little yapper dog is on me. Long fingernails, toenails, whatever.
on my leg, I'm tolerating the dog with a smile on my face. I didn't want to be like kicking the dog or anything. I really could have and I wanted to, but I just stood there just like this, listening to RJ, and the sweetest little thing came up to me, she's about this tall, straight to me, never saw her face, wrapped her little bitty arms around my stomach, and laid her head right here. And I looked down, and she had a little circle braid. I've been journaling, and I drew it in there. It's like a little circle braid. It's like a little halo in my memory. And she just kind of waited until I went, oh. And then I looked at RJ. This is RJ. Right? And so I don't know what to do. I love her back. I'm like, oh, sweetie, thank you. This is what she does. Turns around, walks back in the house. I don't even know what was done or said or whatever. We get off the porch, and I'm just like, I did it. There was a dog on me, and I got a hug. And I really feel like that was God saying, there's an annoying dog, and here's a hug. Go about my business. Go do it. You're going to be fine. And so I did. Dogs everywhere, scared to death. But with him, I did it for 3 days. And I was exhausted emotionally when it was over with. About 3 houses before we were done, I said, RJ, I don't think I can do this anymore. I'm just so done with constantly watching for dogs and constantly being observant and on guard. But I did it. And to hear that 70-whatever people came, because there was nobody at that church before we went there, that's rewarding because what we did actually made a difference. In the block party, after I was emotionally exhausted, I went back to the hotel. So exhausted, I said, Brooke, I'm just going to lay down for a second. If I fall asleep, wake me up. Apparently, she fell asleep. We were leaving at 4:20, and I had already had in my mind, I'm going to take a shower. I need to clean this day off and just fresh for the block party. So 4:01, I wake up in a panic and thought that it was still okay to go take a shower. So I get up and I'm like taking a shower. I run downstairs. I'm exhausted. We're like setting things up. Devonna, bless her heart, she gave us face paint to paint those faces. They did not look well, but they didn't care. They were so happy. They were so happy by that paint that you let us have. Let us use. Anyway, not have, but let us use. And it was like I was energized again because, like Adam said, these people were like thirsty and hungry, not just for food and drink. They were kind of thirsty for attention. And we got to see some pretty special faces from the community. I think Brooke's going to talk about a certain something that happened. But there's two other things that I really want to thank you guys for, if you had a part in praying. Actually, three things. Part of praying. Financially, if you helped our group, you have no idea how you blessed us. I'm about to lose it, so I think I'm just going to be done. But I just want to say thank you so, so much from the bottom of our hearts. I never thought that I could go be in, you know, I didn't think that I could leave. I really thought that he was going to send me to Kentucky or somewhere close, you know, but that didn't happen. I was 1,000 miles away, and I did it. And I have to say it all to him, all glory to God, y'all. He's alive. Don't be asleep. Don't hit the snooze button. If you're called, be obedient because he's going to bless you. Thank you for your time. Sorry if I was too much.
I'm going to try to get through this without crying because I've cried ever since we came home. It was amazing. This is the cleanest mission trip I've ever been on. Most of my mission trips involved flood water, toilets, and what I would hope would be mud in those toilets. But David has never been on a plane, has never been on a mission trip, and all I could say was, I've cleaned up flood water before. All I could say is I've been at summer camp with developmentally delayed youth,
I've never in my life ever knocked on someone's door and said, come to church with me. I've, for the last year, I've knocked on strangers' doors to help them with mental health or to help them with something going on in their family. Never have I ever knocked on someone's door and had the courage to say, come to church. And then I had to get the courage to say, no, I'm not Jehovah's Witness, and no, I was not here 3 days ago. But people, I learned these things in South Dakota. One, there's nowhere in the world more beautiful than this state. Y'all will never, ever, unless you've been there, know what we saw. Two, the Jehovah's Witness comes an hour before us, and people, and we threw away their stuff. But people were either very willing to come to this block party and come to this church, or people were very angry that we were there. And really the only people that I had encounters with are negative. But the point is I was in their shoes once. Butch and Connie's why I'm here. And Butch and Connie brought me to this church and they left me. And but now I'm here where I am. And this person that was in his trailer and his child was filthy and I was upset. My child is clean compared to that one. With his pentagram ring on, his Friday the 13th shirt on. My favorite part about this guy was his cross that was red and it had a skeleton on it. And I still said, come to church, come tonight. You don't have to wear shoes. You'll like it a whole lot more if you don't. But they will feed you. They have games. They have stuff for your kid to do. Please just come. And maybe it was just because I was standing there in front of him, but he seemed really interested. He didn't come. But the point is we planted seeds while we were there. And like we said in Sunday school this morning, you plant the seeds, but you don't know who's going to harvest those. In a church that RJ said five people were a member of, they were all wives of the men that were involved. We tripled their congregation when we were there, but 70 people came. And it was just, it's fantastic to hear that we had a little bit to do with that, something to do with that. And David, like I said, has never been on a mission trip, and I'm just used to knocking on somebody's door. Knocked on a door for the past year, and finally he said, with that finger, he said, look, I'm here too, and I can knock on doors too. And I'm like, no, you can't. You've never done it before. Well, you can take that side of the road, and I will take this side of the road. And we split up, and he left me by myself in a state that I've never been in, by myself, to knock on these people's doors. And I did it, and he did it too. And he had a lot more positive responses than I did, but the guy that was playing his Xbox didn't even have time to open the door. But I still left him something there, hoping that one day maybe I planted a seed. And maybe one day playing these video games, he'll meet another Christian that will invite him to somewhere. But we had it was a wonderful time. I'm going to pass it to you.
Oh,
there you go.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
So the best part of the mission trip I loved the most was the trailer park. These people really needed something. I believe that was Christ. There was one that I encountered, and he was like, I'll be at the block party. And I was like, this guy ain't going to come. So lo and behold, I was giving out lemonade, water, and the kids didn't care when we ran out of lemonade. They're like, whatever, we want water. So he showed up. He's like, I told you I'd come. And that was probably one of the most awe moments I had there. Scared to death of the airplane. I was scared to death. The whole time I was like, this plane's going to wreck and we're all going to die. But y'all don't know what you mean to me financially, what you did for us. I really didn't think we were going to be able to go. And thank you all for what you did for us and for the church.
We just cry a lot.
I'm a little nervous tonight. The last mission trip I went on, I was getting ready to come up here and speak, and my dad decided to have a heart attack. So this is a little scary for me. I hope that he's all right. Where are you, Dad? He's out there. Okay, cool. I want to tell you a little bit about before the trip, before I talk about the trip. If you don't know me, my name's Daniel. And if you don't recognize me up there, I had a little bit longer hair about 3 weeks ago, so I cut it all off. But I'm the big woolly guy with the beard, you know, other than RJ's beard. before this trip, I wasn't I don't know. If most of you know me, you know that I try to spend a lot of time up here. Not that I'm any greater than any one of you, but I try to, you know, volunteer, be a part of stuff that's going on up here because I love it up here. Sometimes to me that can seem like a chore, it's more of my job to be here than it is for me to be up here and worship. And I was really feeling that. Which is wrong for me. It's wrong because I should enjoy spending time up here, spending time, you know, with the Lord and worship and you know, sometimes waking up at seven and trying to be here at 7:30 to come play the drums on a Sunday morning is hard. And it really is. I don't know why, but it is. Thank you, Todd. So on this, I work at the shoe company of Dixon, and most of you know David and Donna Darty. Used to go here. They own it, and they're my bosses, and so I'm with them every day. And I told Donna, I said, Donna, I'm about ready to stop going to church. I'm just so frustrated. I feel like, for some reason, it may not have been true, but I feel like everybody wants me to do everything, and they're always trying to get me to do all this stuff. And blah 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 and blah 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 and blah blah blah. And number one, that wasn't right for me to feel that. And number two, she was like, you're crazy and you need to go to church. She said, that's the devil talking to you, Daniel. That's the devil. And on this trip, we actually talked about strange gods. If you haven't read My Utmost Forest Highest by Oswald Chambers, you need to do it because it's awesome and I love it. But he was talking about strange gods, which can loosely be interpreted into idols. Anything, you know, that we put before Christ and before what we're doing in our Christian relationship is an idol. And I'll always remember Ricky Chappell told me, the most important thing in this life is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I figured out that my strange God was myself letting church and the duties that I fulfill at this church be my strange God other than God. Letting my piano playing, or trying to be a perfect drummer, or trying to plan all this stuff was my strange God. I may have tried to have good intentions for it, But it was getting in the place of me worshiping God. It was standing in the way of me desiring a truer relationship with God. And that was really and that's what I figured out over this trip, that sometimes we have to let go of whatever Daniel's doing, I'm gonna call myself Bub because that's who I am. I'm Bub. We have to get rid of whatever Bub's doing because Bub, that guy. I'll be the first to tell you. Just like that passage in James. I'm the worst sinner of them all. I am. And I tell you what, when y'all wrote me these letters, these little thank you notes, and when you say those nice things about me, about my piano playing, about my drumming, it means the world to me. I may shrug it off because that's just Bub, you know. That's that guy, you know. I may seem like I shrug it off or that sometimes I don't care, but I do because I really need it. Because there's so much that I want to do, and I love you guys. I love you guys so much, and I thank you for letting me go on this trip. I thank you for the notes. I thank you for all the stuff that you guys do for me. And I thank you.
Hey, so I'm Brooke Deal. what I got on this mission trip, I didn't really know. I had about an hour to decide if I was even going to go. Well, I decided, and my mom was like, Brooke, sometimes God doesn't give you a whole week to decide. Sometimes he gives you 45 minutes. So I was like, okay, I'm going to let go and let God. So I did, and I had no idea how impactful this mission trip was going to be. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I didn't know how I was going to get funded for this. When we stood up here that Sunday morning, I was one of the ones who didn't have all my money yet. I've been saving up for a mission trip for about a year now because I knew I was going to go on one. I felt called to go on a mission trip. I'm going to Tennessee Tech to study nursing in the fall to be a medical missionary. I knew I'm supposed to be going somewhere. I had around $600 in my little jar, and I didn't have anything else. And Todd asked me, Brooke, do you have your money? I was like, catch me on another date. And somehow we stood up here, and a couple of friends that I knew gave me some money. And then I come to Todd the day it's due with the exact amount of money, changing everything to the exact penny that I needed in an envelope. And he hit me on the head with it and he said, thank you. So I got on the plane and I went, and the hardest part for me was probably leaving my family, just because my little sisters think the world of me and so do my parents and everything. But it was really hard. My little sister wrote me a note that Lyle and Libby wrote me a note and said, you're the best sister in the world. I'm going to miss you. And they just threw pictures on it, and I just cried. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm leaving. And we got to South Dakota, and while we were there, it's crazy how God works, because he showed up and he showed out while we were there. Miss Terry was talking about the families. Well, she told you a little bit about when we did face painting at the block party. Well, when we got to the block party, before that even happened, the first 2 days we were there, we stayed in Deadwood at the hotel. And we didn't really know why we stayed in Deadwood. We just did. Doug told us, you're going to stay in Deadwood. So we're like, okay. We were there, and we were walking down the stairs in the elevator to get to Bible study. It was late that night. We just got done doing everything. We were all tired. Well, the employee there walked up to Todd and said, hey, because he saw our Bibles in our hands. She said, hey, I have a prayer request. Todd goes, okay, pull her aside. She said, while we were there in Spearfish, a family, there was a two-story house.